joining us by recording today, Mabel Louise, talking from just a couple of years ago, actually 2017. Apparently, we had some snow at that time.
Say, if you live in Chippewa Valley, you probably had snow at your house this morning. Oh, my goodness. I got up early and I looked into the woods. The trees were covered with that wet snow. It was just a piece of art by our Lord. It was just beautiful. And say, Carol put a copy of the April update in my desk drawer, so watch for it in the mail. I'm not sure if it goes out today, but it'll be soon. And I just want to thank each one of you who helped with Hope for Hoops. Wow, what a fun time. And thank you for taking part in that exciting experience of hitting the hoop. And to now today, I want to talk to you about a subject that I've never covered in all the years I've been on the broadcast. And as I was praying and had read of all four Gospels of the report of Jesus being crucified and then the resurrection, and I thought, I'm going to talk about Pilate. I've never covered that before, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It was to me, and you know, and every time I'm on the air, I'm always hoping and praying that it's not just a historical effect for us, but that it's a lesson to learn. And so that's really the title of my lesson, of my broadcast today, Lessons to Learn from Pilate. But first, let me give you a little bit of tidbits that I did research and learn from historians. And they teach us that Pilate was appointed as Roman governor by Tiberius Caesar in 26 AD. And most of that time he lived in Caesarea and governed over the land of Judea. But for the Passover, Pilate would always come to Jerusalem to oversee the festival to be sure to keep peace and maintain order. And Pilate really had a record of being brutal. Luke tells us a little bit about him in Luke 13:1. And here's what it says. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Ouch. So historically, we read that Pilate, in an effort to glorify Tiberius Caesar, ordered the flags bearing the image of Tiberius to be raised throughout Jerusalem. And he did it in the middle of the night. And of course, such images were outlawed by the law of Moses, and that caused the Jews to revolt. And you know what they did? The Jews went to Caesarea to plead with Pilate to remove the flags, and Pilate refused to do so. So the Jews all went face down on the ground around Pilate's house and laid motionless for 5 days and nights. Finally, Pilate sent word for the people to go to the stadium to receive his answer. And once the Jewish crowd was in the stadium, Pilate ordered a large group of Roman soldiers in full armor to surround the Jews. Pilate then ordered that they be cut to pieces if they didn't accept the images of Caesar. Well, the order was given to the soldiers to draw their swords, and the Jews responded this way. They said, "We'd rather die than allow the images to remain." And that was a surprise for Pilate. Here's his thinking. If he killed this crowd, there would be a great upheaval and many revolts in Judea. So rather than kill, he chose to just leave them and not cause the trouble with the Roman government. So he was appointed to maintain peace, and it would also, had he killed, put his job in jeopardy. Well, the Sanhedrin had bound Jesus, and they had taken him to Pilate, who would have been staying in the fortress and the Roman outpost in Jerusalem. So Pilate asks what the charges are that are being brought against Jesus, and the Jewish leaders respond that if Jesus were not a criminal, then they wouldn't have brought him to Pilate. And these were the accusations that they posed to Pilate, that he was overthrowing the government, that he was opposing the payment of taxes to Caesar, and that he was claiming to be Messiah, a king. So Pilate responded by telling the Jewish leaders to judge him by their own law, and they answered that they didn't have the power to execute anyone. So then Pilate begins to question Jesus, and when Pilate asks him, "Are you king of the Jews?" in the Greek, it reads, You are the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "You have said it." That's what it's written in the Greek. And he also responds by adding, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18:36. So Pilate goes out to the Jews and tells them that he finds no fault in him. But the priests and scribes accuse him even more. And after all, he came to die on the cross, and everything to the tiniest detail is being carried out as planned. So Pilate finds out that Jesus is a Galilean, and he sends Jesus to Herod. Mark does not record the fact that Jesus stood before Herod. And we find in Luke 23:8-12, that Herod had already beheaded John the Baptist, and now he was pleased because he had heard about Jesus and his miracles. Well, you know the story. Jesus is sent back to Pilate. Pilate calls the Jewish leaders together and tells them that he has examined Jesus and has found no basis for any charges. But now the crowd gets involved. Before Pilate lets Jesus go, the crowd demands that Pilate keep the custom of releasing a prisoner whom the people request. So it looks like it'll be a way out for Pilate. So Pilate is happy to do so, and he asks the crowd, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" You see, Pilate knew that the reason Jesus had been handed over to him was because the Jewish leaders envied Jesus. So the Jewish leaders went through the crowd, stirring them up so that they would choose to release Barabbas instead. And then Pilate asked what he is to do with Jesus. And they respond, crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then Pilate is going to make one more effort to try to save Jesus. So he orders that Jesus be flogged. Historians tell us that flogging would have removed the skin off of Jesus' back and would have laid bare the muscles and the bones. Ouch. His back would have been a bloody mess. So they stripped Jesus of his clothes, tearing open those freshly made wounds from the flogging. And then they put a purple robe on him and twisted a crown of thorns, placed it on his head, and then they mocked him. The Gospel of John says that Pilate shouted that he found no fault in Jesus, and he added, "Behold the man." Now the crowd is shouting at the top of their voices, "Crucify, crucify." I really believe that the reason Pilate flogged Jesus was because he thought it would be the end of the story and the people would let Jesus go. But The crowd shouted, as the book of John relates, "If you let this man go, you're not a friend of Caesar's. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." So Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And their answer was, "We have no king but Caesar." A riot was beginning to form. So to prevent things from getting out of control and being in trouble with Rome for allowing an uprising, Pilate took some water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It's your responsibility." After all, he'd been warned by his wife not to become involved in the life of Jesus, for she had experienced a dream in the night. So then Pilate grants Barabbas release and surrenders Jesus. When they mocked Jesus some more, they took the purple robe off, tearing again at his wounds from the flogging, and they put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. What are some lessons that we can learn from Pilate today? Well, number one, he should not have been influenced by politics. Oh my goodness, how that's so prevalent today. And number two, yes, Pilate was a crowd pleaser and up to no good. And number three, he should have sought the truth rather than all of the lies that they told, and even knowing that they envied Jesus. And number four, yes, he should have listened to his wife's counsel. And number five, he should have taken a stand against Barabbas. But Pilate was weak, and he ignored the fact that Barabbas was a murderer. Yes, Pilate passed the buck to Herod to get off the hook. Number seven, he was a poor example before the soldiers, after all. He was weak in his leadership as a ruler, and he certainly should have taken a stand for right and wrong. He was wavering back and forth and back and forth, and he refused salvation in Christ, knowing, as Jesus said, he was King, the Messiah. And instead, he washed his hands of the trial. Have you ever wondered, like I did? I leaned back in my office chair and wondered, what was Pilate's heart reaction when he experienced the earthquake, the deep darkness, the veil that rent in two? He said he was surprised that Jesus died so soon on the cross. Do you think he felt convicted after he heard about the empty tomb, the huge stone that was rolled away, the report of the angels, the hush and the bribe of the soldiers? Well, as I pondered, I thought, only Jesus knows his heart. And you know what? Nothing more is said in the Bible about Pilate. It'd be so easy, wouldn't it, for each one of us to say, "I'm not involved." But you know what? It does give us an example, something to ponder and to think about. We each one, as individuals, have the opportunity to do right. When decisions have to be made in the home, in the family, in politics, in government, it's so easy, isn't it, to be caught up with the masses, to join a riot even when you know it's not right. The popular choice might not be the godly choice, so we need to ponder and consider and look into and follow through. And for sure, as believers, we are to take a stand for truth. We are to stand out like a lamp in a dark room. Our righteousness is to be seen by those who surround us and live with us and live in our neighborhoods. What is Jesus to you this Easter? Is he just a problem solver? Is he just someone to make us comfortable? Is he someone to perform miracles in our lives? Is he someone to follow for moral reasons? Or is he our precious, precious Lord and Savior? And I don't know about you, but I want to live for him every single day the best that I can. So maybe the end of the lesson is, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? That's the question we need to face every single day. Pilate asked that question, and we need to ask that same question of ourselves every day when we get up in the morning. He loves us. He died for us. So what then shall I and you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, the Savior of the world? I leave you with that question, and I hope that you will join me in saying, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. That is so important. God bless you and goodbye.